The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Friday, May 23rd, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And I am back, live and direct, talking to you from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Portland, Oregon. I am back from a whirlwind tour to both corners, the top left and bottom right of this wonderful country. I was down in Miami, Florida, participating in the Florida Meet the Experts 2 conference put on by Robert Platschorn, a.k.a. Bobby Tuna. Got to go on a fishing trip with Bobby Tuna, Irv Rosenfeld, and Mike Booten from Weed Country. That was pretty amazing. We'll talk all about my exploits in Florida in the second hour of the show today when we get to Toker Talk Radio. All sorts of great stuff to talk about. Also, talk about the event I was just at yesterday as a guest of the Marijuana Business Alliance, MJBA.net, if you want to know more about them. The Marijuana Business Alliance featured a cannabis and the law seminar for I-502's new licensees, so they can know exactly what the law is, ask questions of Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, Washington State Liquor Control Board member Chris Marr, all sorts of great attorneys from the Washington area who are very, very skilled on the I-502 law, marketing experts, staffing experts, human resources experts. I'm telling you, folks, this marijuana business thing is so exciting to see develop up here in the Pacific Northwest. We've got City Attorney Pete Holmes, his keynote speech coming to you at 5:30 in our activist agenda. Also on the show today, time for a radical rant. We're going to talk about OpenVape, who did the right thing. This company did the right thing, abandoned urine testing in favor of computerized impairment testing. We'll tell you about that in the radical rant at the end of the show. In our behind the headlines today, we're going to examine what exactly does regulate marijuana like alcohol mean with respect to where people can use marijuana. I know we can use alcohol damn near anywhere. Why not marijuana? We'll talk about that in behind the headlines. Also, Herb Thrasher is going to join us calling in for our Memorial Day salute to our veterans with God Forbid and their song To the Fallen Heroes. And then we've got our 420 radio news coming up. We got a new poll out of New York. We've got a new law in Colorado about edibles. The New York medical marijuana is moving forward. The FBI can't find enough non-weed smoking hackers. And Missouri has become the 19th decriminalization state. All of that coming up next on The Russ Belville Show. Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition.
I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. 420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Missouri has become the 19th state to decriminalize personal marijuana possession. Senate Bill 491, a proposal that greatly alters Missouri's criminal code, including decriminalizing the possession of up to 10 grams of cannabis, has become law without Governor Jay Nixon's signature. The state's legislature approved the measure with a 169-17 vote. Under current Missouri law, the possession of any amount of cannabis can net someone a prison sentence of up to a year. Under Senate Bill 491, the charge for possessing up to 10 grams of cannabis would be reduced to a simple fine rather than an arrestable misdemeanor. Charges involving cannabis cultivation and distribution would also be reduced. The measure includes several other reforms as well, including removing a mandate that finds someone convicted for the third time on a drug felony charge automatically denied probation and parole. Unfortunately, the proposal doesn't go into full effect until January of 2017. FBI Director James Comey wants to make clear that the Bureau still maintains a ban on hiring any agents who admit to smoking marijuana in the past 3 years. Comey generated a buzz among marijuana reformers on the subject of FBI hiring of talented computer hackers to combat cyber terrorism. Quote, "One of the challenges we face is getting a good workforce," Comey mentioned at a recent conference, "at the same time that young people's attitudes and our state's attitudes about marijuana are leading more and more of them to try it. I have to hire a great workforce to compete with those cyber criminals, and some of those kids want to smoke weed on the way to the interview," end quote. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions chided Comey at a congressional oversight hearing, saying the FBI director's remarks, quote, "could be interpreted as one more example of leadership in America dismissing the seriousness of marijuana use. That could undermine our ability to convince young people to not go down a dangerous path," end quote. New York Senator Dianne Savino's move to further restrict a medical marijuana bill has gotten it past its first Senate committee in a 9-8 vote. Senator Savino said her bill, quote, "would create the tightest, most regulated program in the nation," end quote, describing how her colleagues complained that, quote, "we don't want this to be California," end quote. Senator Savino explained, quote, "In California, physicians often have far too much latitude about who should and shouldn't be listed as a marijuana patient," end quote.
necessitating the strict list of 20 qualifying conditions that include typical medical marijuana state conditions such as cancer and AIDS, but forbids pain, nausea, non-rheumatoid arthritis, and glaucoma. Under the current bill, patients would not be allowed to cultivate their own plants, which would make New York the 12th medical marijuana state in a row since 2010 to forbid home grow to all patients. The Senate Republicans prefer language that forbid any smoking of marijuana, but Senator Savino's bill only bans smoked marijuana for patients under age 21. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper has signed into law a bill requiring the legislature to design regulations that make THC-infused edible products to be readily identifiable as such, even when out of the packaging. The law comes in response to rising numbers of children admitted to hospitals for accidental ingestion of marijuana products that come in forms like cookies, gummy bears, and chocolate bars. In the 8 years from 2005 to 2013, 8 children total had been admitted to ERs. In 2013, 8 children were admitted in that year alone. And in 2014, already 9 children have succumbed to accidental THC ingestion. The Denver Post reports that, quote, lawmakers suggested the products might all contain a unique stamp or be made in a particular shape or color, end quote. While it seems beyond obvious that a big green pot leaf stamp and edibles shaped like pot leaves would do the trick, politicians in Washington state nixed a plan that would have labeled all infused products with a pot leaf and state outline icon for fear it would be interpreted as state endorsement of marijuana use. New York state voters back medical marijuana by an 83% to 15% margin, according to the latest Quinnipiac University poll. Support for recreational marijuana received a slim majority of 51% to 44%, with women's support lagging behind men's by 7 points at 50%. As usual, young people and Democrats support legalization at 62% each, while Republicans and older people oppose legalization at 69% and 52% respectively. 60% of New Yorkers also believe that alcohol is more harmful to a person's health than marijuana. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org/shows/420. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at why regulate marijuana like alcohol doesn't mean home use only. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
Mary, marijuana. Do you wanna? Mary, do you wanna? Tonight.
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on The Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's E-A-R-L-E-Y-W-I-N-E, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Fun.
Oh, hello, I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Ring. We're partying hard over here, baby, so stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a too deep, brother, don't get in a too heavy, don't get so you can move a bottle whenever you get
ready. Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where regulate marijuana like alcohol doesn't mean home use only. One of the editors at the Denver Post, Vincent Carroll, wrote a piece today. It was entitled, Like It or Not, CSO Must Abide by Amendment 64. In it, he's scolding CSO, which is the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, for its original plan where it was going to create a series of fundraising concerts where it was bring your own cannabis. People could buy a ticket, bring their own weed, go to a secluded patio at a private gallery, and listen to some symphonic music. And they were against this, of course, and this is what Vincent Carroll writes in the Post today. Quote, the city of Denver is being cast as a killjoy and a grouch by those who believe it should have let the Colorado Symphony Orchestra proceed with its original plan for a series of bring-your-own-pot concerts. Yet Denver had little choice but to veto the idea. If the High Note series had gone on as planned, it would have set a precedent, giving a green light to virtually any club, bar, concert, or other gathering to allow open consumption of marijuana, provided it sold tickets and confined pot use to an open-air area not visible from the outside. Can anyone seriously claim that's what Coloradoans voted for in 2012? Amendment 64 contains not one word hinting at a proliferation of commercial establishments open to the public where pot smoking would be encouraged, nor did anyone active in the campaign ever suggest that was in the offing. Well, I had to respond to this, so I sent Mr. Carroll an email today and said this. I must strenuously disagree with your characterization of Amendment 64 as a bait and switch to Colorado voters who never approved marijuana smoking by adults in a private venue. While the amendment made no explicit regulations for commercial establishments to provide a private location to consume marijuana, it also did not explicitly forbid such arrangements. The purpose and intent of Amendment 64, however, is quite clear. Quote, in the interest of individual freedom, marijuana should be regulated in a manner similar to alcohol, end quote. Now, you cannot believe that alcohol may be consumed at sports venues, concerts, nightclubs, taverns, restaurants, and even some non-commercial public venues, while denying the same right to marijuana consumers. I feel that the voters who were bombarded with the message, treat marijuana like alcohol, didn't expect that meant marijuana consumers were to remain as hidden in the smoky garages and bedrooms at home as they were under the threat of police discovering them and arresting them. A constitutional amendment with the purpose of promoting individual freedom just cannot be interpreted to restrict freedom. The default, when in doubt, should be to presume freedom, not to presume restriction. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra is probably bowing to Denver's demands, not because they thought they'd lose their case in court, but because they just don't want to spend the time and money fighting over it. Amendment 64's ban on, quote, openly and publicly using marijuana means both those conditions must exist. Smoking marijuana in a park, for instance, would be both visible to the public, openly, and it would be occurring in a public place, publicly. So you can ban that, sure. But smoking marijuana on a secluded patio, not openly, in a private venue, not publicly, can't possibly meet both those criteria. Your interpretation that a person in a closed space might be seen smoking marijuana by another member of the public sharing that closed space, both of whom entered the closed space by purchasing a ticket with the explicit knowledge that marijuana smoking will occur, is invalid, as those two people are no longer public, They're patrons. Under your interpretation, a person paying a cover charge to engage in an orgy at a swingers club would thereby be engaged in public indecency. Moreover, the lack of Amendment 64 to provide commercial regulation of the pot lounges that sell and explicitly allow on-site consumption doesn't mean citizens don't have the freedom to consume a legal substance where it isn't explicitly prohibited. No bar in Colorado sells OxyContin, nor do any bars in Colorado explicitly state you may consume OxyContin here. But if I have a prescription for OxyContin, if I'm a legal consumer of OxyContin, I can consume it at the bar or at the symphony orchestra concert. All right, well, folks, it's 20 after the hour, and that means it's time for us to take our union-mandated safety break. I hope you're having a safe day out there as well. Back in just a couple of minutes with Herb Thrasher and our salute to veterans.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say it'll recollect. Darling, your words to fail.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, get those horns up because we're going into a three-day weekend and we got to have an extra, we have to have 33% more rock to get us through a three-day weekend. We got Herb Thrasher. I'm sure he'll take care of that.
That's right, man. We always take care of that.
And, actually,
we'll
it'd be 50%.
We're rocking tonight. got a very special guest tonight, man. Mark Hunter from Chimera.
Yeah.
Is going to be joining the show. Real excited. They just had an announcement for the Artery Tour. Artemy Metal Tour, and they're going to be touring all over the country and coming up through the Northwest, and more importantly, in August, they're going to be making a stop, and they're actually going to be playing a 420 set at the Seattle Hemp Fest. So, looking forward to talking to Mark about that. We think that's a great, great announcement, and I can't imagine any other Hemp Fest being any heavier than this one is going to be this year.
Yeah, we had
so, talk to him, see what's up. Memorial Day weekend, all you guys working, make sure you know no one's working on Monday. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we had some pretty hard rocking bands the last few years here at Seattle Hemp Fest. It's turned into a good place.
Well, you know, they have been kind of, you know, it's funny it is to say, man, that Seattle Hemp Fest, the musicians have been growing. I mean, the music has definitely, we had Head P.E. on the main stage last year, and that was just completely rocking. There was just shoulder room. I mean, you couldn't hardly walk anywhere around the main stage with them. And we've had Cottonmouth Kings have been there. I mean, it's just amazing. So really looking forward. And they hadn't even really announced. That's not even the main stage band. That's going to be on the McWilliams stage. Usually the McWilliams stage is allocated for more of the more rocking, heavier bands. And we'll talk a lot more about that tonight, although Mark's not going to have too much information on the Hemp Fest. But we'll definitely get his feelings on that, because I'm sure that they haven't played any kind of event in this country like the Seattle Hemp Fest. So really looking forward to talking with Mark Hunter of Chimera tonight about that, and their album that they just released, Crowns of Phantoms. So you guys definitely join us tonight at 8 p.m. right here on 420radio.org. And today, celebrating our veterans, free country, you know, we get tied up in what we do, and our veterans have just always been so special to our country. And so wanted to give a little shout out today by one of my favorite songs that I've played this song before on the show on this day, and we're just going to continue to kind of do this. It's how I feel, and my father and grandfather were veterans, and hopefully, you know, you guys support the veterans like everyone else. And this is God Forbid, and the tune is To the Fallen Heroes, and it's off the Earth's Blood album. And God Forbid started in like around 95, 96 maybe, New Jersey band, and they were always real heavy, five-piece band, and they real kind of popular through the late 90s and 2000s. I mean, they played with everyone from Lamb of God and Slipknot and Slayer, and they did all the Ozfest tours and Headbangers Balls and the Mayhem, so they've had success. These days, they've kind of split up, not really around. Corey Pierce, one of the founding members, has started another band, Lead Pipe Cruelty. But you guys can definitely find God Forbid out there. There's so many albums that they have. And this tune right here, again, is To the Fallen Heroes. And I've given a special shout out to our veterans, anyone listening right now. Love all you guys. And hopefully you guys will take a couple minutes this weekend and give them thanks as well. You guys have a safe weekend. Join us tonight on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 p.m. We'll have Radical Russ back in the studio, and we'll come up with all kinds of stuff. Cheers. Keep rocking. Load them up.
Yeah.
support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage, replaying Wednesdays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
And now some words from the top law enforcement official in Seattle, Washington, Pete Holmes.
And we're going to start off now with Pete Holmes. He needs to talk a little bit about four keys to moving forward on marijuana reform. Pete?
Thank you, Al. Thanks, everyone. Take your time, get settled in. I know you have to get those blood sugar levels adjusted. It's a gorgeous day outside, and we don't have any sunlight coming in, but we'll try to shine a little light on marijuana reform. It's a real honor to be here with Chris Marr. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. It really is an honor to be here with Chris Marr. Marr is one of the guys that gets it and has done an incredible job at the Liquor Control Board, essentially crafting a regulatory framework from the ground up. And that is no small feat. I think that they deserve the regulatory agency of the decade award when all of this is done. But I do want to give a bit of a cautionary note, and that is that unlike Colorado, we're not yet open. We don't have our stores there and ready for business. And a lot remains to be seen about, as they often say, working out the details. The devil is in the details, and I'm here just to provide an encouraging yet cautionary note. I wanted to say a little bit about my orientation, first of all, and that is, even though I'm the city's prosecutor, I have my history before coming to the city attorney's office in Seattle was as a private business lawyer, and so I like to think that I get it in how I can read a P&L statement, and I can understand ROI figures, and I have an appreciation for the economic engine that drives our economy. And by mainstreaming this industry and abandoning an utterly insane and failed policy of prohibition, I think we're on the right track. So this is it's a testament that we have the business people in the room now that are actually taking over this industry, and I'm really encouraged by all of you being here. I'm encouraged by the formation of this association, and a lot of what I have to say is going to appeal to both your entrepreneurial spirit as well as to, I think, some basic patriotism. I published an article here just recently. I've been, I think, fairly vocal about marijuana reform since taking office. In 2009, I defeated a two-term incumbent with a 64% vote on some important issues like police reform, not committing the city of Seattle to building a new jail, and marijuana possession. We had, as I learned when I took office, had pending charges at the time that were 59% marijuana possession misdemeanor charges that were against African Americans in a city with a 7% African American population. And that is just one reason why this policy has been so insane. But again, I look at it not only as a social justice minister, I guess, but as a business person. And I look at the way that reform can, with American entrepreneurial spirit, can actually provide a better public safety venue than we have witnessed under prohibition. And so that's why I say that there's still more that needs to be done. Not only have the stores not yet open, but we have to make sure that we have a landscape where the business people in the room have their licenses protected. And there's a lot more that needs to be done to gain buy-in with other localities, with law enforcement, and get them to understand that now we have a state-sanctioned system that was endorsed by 11-point margin of the voters of this state, and that we need to see that it succeeds. One of the ways it has to succeed is by everyone in this room that is investing time and capital in this new industry, that is protected, and that we move forward with an understanding that law enforcement is going to do more than it could under prohibition by protecting the license holders and by moving this industry forward. That's why it's important to remind everyone, as I said in point one, that we didn't just legalize marijuana. We agreed to regulate it, and you're all about to enter into a regulated industry. Not unlike alcohol, not unlike other controlled substances that are regulated rather than prohibited. And it's important that I think one industry that was not clearly provided for in 502, but which could be, I think, another arena for this industry, we're calling them loosely marijuana lounges, cannabis cafes. But both the business side and the social justice side suggest that if we're going to go forward like an alcohol model and tell individuals, adults 21 and over, that you cannot drink beer on the street and you can't smoke a joint on the street. We have to provide a place, though, where that can happen. And unfortunately, under 502, there's no clear opportunity there that doesn't either offend the public display rules under 502 or the existing Clean Air Act, the Indoor Clean Air Act in particular. And so we are working at City Council. My office is working with City Council here in Seattle, along with the Seattle King County Health Department, to explore ways that we might, with either legislative enactments at the city and state level, with rulemaking at the Board of Health, and using existing rules to see if there is a model that could work as a for-profit model, as opposed to, say, the cigar clubs, alleged nonprofit models run by volunteers, not employees, where smoking can occur indoors. And one of the ways that we may do this, of course, is with vaporizers. So, as you know, at the federal level, as well as at the local level here, everyone is struggling with what does vaporizing technology mean? What is its impact under, not 502, but under the Indoor Clean Air Act? So we're working on that. It's a fascinating area for me. And coming up with a model that works is going to be a challenge. I did want to do a shout out for Ben Livingston. I don't know if he's still here in the room, but I want to thank Ben as one of those reformers who worked hard with the city last December 6th, the anniversary of 502's going into effect, to create an outdoor smoking area analogous to a beer garden that took place without incident and was highly attended, no pun intended, at Seattle Center. And again, it was an example of collaboration between law enforcement, public safety officials like myself and Ben Livingston, trying to find how can we do this? How can we make it so that as we shift the culture toward marijuana, can we get to a point where an event like celebrating the anniversary of 502 is looked at like a beer garden is looked at today? And this is going to be a foreshadowing, though, of my final message about this, and that is the cautionary note. My biggest concern now as we go into this next session is what happened in the last session of our legislature. Are most people here from Washington? So you're familiar with the massive fail that we had in the legislature. The federal government made it clear in the August 13, 2013 memo from Deputy Attorney General Cole that we needed to make sure that our regulatory system was intact. So it's not just the promise to 502 voters, but it's also the promises to the federal government. And one of the big areas that we have to address is medical marijuana, an essentially unregulated market that threatens to undermine not only your investments, but our ability to regulate this new industry. And so a bill 5887 passed our Senate, ironically, which is a Republican-controlled Senate, only to go die in the House, which is controlled by Democrats. And it was a fail that had something to do with medical marijuana. It had something to do with revenue sharing. It had something to do with the Attorney General's opinion that local governments could opt out of 502 and ban licensed stores and producers. But at the end of the day, it represented, I think, our best hope for a tighter regulatory system. And with that failed chance in a short session, I'm pinning all of our hopes at this point in moving forward, not only with the next longer legislative session, but with what everyone in this room can do to help the industry itself. And that is, you need to reach out. This industry is going to command as much respect as it deserves and as much as it actually seeks out. And so I want you, first and foremost, to make sure that you're reaching out to the government institutions in the localities where you're locating. There's only so many Dan Roaches in the world on the Pierce County Council who thinks that this is, you know, drugs are bad, and the only answer is to revert back to prohibition. Here, even in King County, we've had to deal with NIMBYism at the King County Council when a perfectly appropriate place for a producing facility at Redmond Ridge was vetoed by essentially local owners putting pressure on council members. And so the best answer for that kind of activity lies with you, to go demonstrate that we are business people, that we care about our industry's safety, its regulatory promise, and the revenues that are to be generated. And if you do that work, you will make it easier for us the next time around in the legislature, and you will also make it easier for us as we deal with localities. The second thing to reach out to, now government, I don't want to stop just at the local level. Remember, it's also the state legislature. I encourage you to get involved with WAPA, the Washington Association of Prosecuting Attorneys, with WASPIC, the Association of Sheriffs and Chiefs of Police. If we can reach out to law enforcement agencies and let them get to know you, let them get to see how you're trying to operate your business, you will find that you'll be making friends and building relationships. And then lastly, I want you to reach out to the medical marijuana community. If this industry can show concern, compassion, and an earnest desire to earn the business of authorized medical patients, you will go a long way toward making sure that we have an industry that not only survives its infancy, but actually flourishes in this state and becomes a model for other states. And I can't emphasize that enough. I have only heard in all the various meetings that I've been to answering questions, one applicant at the time, an applicant for a 502 store who stood up and with open arms said, I want to talk to you. Please, every authorized user, everyone that's involved with a dispensary, everyone that's producing medical marijuana, please talk with me. Let's figure out how we can serve your needs, incorporate what you already know about this industry, the special knowledge you have about strains and about particular ailments and which ones work best. Reach out, partner with these folks. If they have not been able to get a license, reach out, consider partnering, hiring, find ways to bring that expertise and that knowledge and that client base into your fold. I urge you to do that, and if you do that, it's nothing but helping yourself. And then lastly, I want to close and we'll leave time for Chris and questions. There are a couple of other areas that we have to address, and that is hemp oil. Every time we hear another house knocked off its foundations because some idiot's cooking hemp oil in his basement, it hurts all of us. And we are going to to see a backlash in public opinion if we're not reaching out and trying to solve this problem. I'm sorry?
Hash oil.
Hash oil. What did I say?
Hemp oil.
Hash oil. You know, in Copenhagen, they don't even use the word marijuana. They just use hash. So, and then hemp industry on Eastern Washington. That was from a different speech. Sorry. But in any event, hemp oil and hash oil, whatever you want to call it, that we just can't see these the oil makers that are doing it on their own. And if a licensed producer is going to do it, please make sure that you understand the local regulations, the fire code, and the like, and make sure that a licensed producer is not involved in one of these explosions. We've got another issue with the edibles that look like candy. Please be cautious, be thoughtful about this. I am very concerned that when we see a toddler that has eaten a gummy bear laced with THC, there's going to be a backlash, and it's going to harm this industry. So please, please be cautious. Lastly, I want you to reach out to HempFest. We're looking at the 22nd installment this August in Seattle. And like Ben Livingston's model that was put together last December for Seattle Center, we're trying to get the HempFest organizers to observe the law as best they can. The cultural shift is going to take time. We can't get instantaneous compliance. But those organizers have already acknowledged that open use and display is not permitted under the law. And so we're looking at smoking areas. They're proposing smoking areas within HempFest where that can happen by age 21 and over. But that also begs the question about the youth. We have got to make sure that we are addressing the problem with youth access. One of the things the legislature needs to do, there is a bit of an aberration in the law in that from 18 to 21, someone in possession can face very stiff consequences under the law. It may be that the legislature can help address some of these problems by taking away the mandatory nature of the penalties for 18 to 21-year-olds. It's not really an issue here in the city of Seattle, but it is elsewhere in the state. So with that, I've probably gone over my time. I wanted to hit on some of the, I'm not going to say high points, but on some of the main issues that are still facing us, whether it's hemp oil manufacture, hash oil manufacture, or some of these other yet-to-be-resolved questions. So I'm glad you're all here today and looking forward to answering your questions.
That was Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, who is a prime proponent of I-502 and ending prohibition in general, speaking to the Marijuana Business Association's Cannabis and the Law Seminar. I participated. I was a moderator in two panels. And if you'd like to hear the panel information from this seminar, it will be replaying this weekend on the Russ Belville Show weekend replay slots. Check our regular schedule up online to learn more. Coming up next, Radical Rant. Open Vape did the right thing. So
we'll
proud of
be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420.
McGruff here with Regina to sing Users Are Losers.
You know it's okay to say no. I'm telling you it's true. Learning when to say no.
Say no.
That's what you need to do. Learning how to say no.
Say no.
Can make a winner of you. Cause users are losers and losers are users. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs. Winners don't use and users don't win. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs. If you know a user even part of the time,
tell them to quit, take a bite out of crime.
Users are losers and losers are users. So don't use drugs.
And help me take a bite out of crime.
America.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, folks, activist pressure has forced OpenVape, the company that makes vaporizer pens that wanted to have employee drug testing, has forced them to change their tune and embrace impairment-based testing that's endorsed by Normal. Let me catch up on this. If you remember from one of my rants in the past few shows, this company OpenVape in April 17th, released this press release that talked about, it was called OpenVape, the nation's largest cannabis brand, will test employees for dangerous drug abuse. And the press release tried to portray it as, you know, we're going to take care of our family and it's responsible and progressive, because it wouldn't have tested for cannabis in most situations. It would have exempted cannabis users. The spokesperson for OpenVape, Todd Mitchum, explained, quote, "Unlike dangerous drugs, cannabis can be part of a healthy lifestyle that promotes wellness. We always encourage consumers to use cannabis responsibly, and as such, we have implemented a stringent drug policy for our own employees. OpenVape understands that, as the largest brand in the cannabis industry, our view holds weight, and our view is simple. We won't tolerate dangerous drug use by our employees," end quote. Well, that was a little tone deaf for the marijuana community, because we understand it's not the drug you're testing for that's the problem. It's the disgusting and personally invasive proposition of having to give your employer a cup of piss to keep your job. The news of this was picked up by Tom Angel, director of Marijuana Majority. They're the one that compile the pro-marijuana reform quotes on the internet from public figures. And then Mitchum's initial responses to Angel via Twitter were all this condescending, like, oh, we didn't know you didn't care about, you know, workplace safety, and grown-ups need to have a conversation. It was just really, you know, surprising from a public company spokesperson. It wasn't long before Tom and me and, you know, Sanho and a bunch of people started jumping on OpenVape all over Twitter and Facebook about this drug testing policy. But behind the scenes, Tom Angel was marshaling some of the most learned experts on the issue of drug testing to talk to OpenVape in a series of conference calls. They got Paul Armentano from Normal, who probably knows more about drug testing than anybody on the planet. Amanda Ryman from the Drug Policy Alliance, Dr. Amanda Ryman, PhD, from DPA. And Doug McVeigh from Drug War Facts, one of our podcasts here on 420 Radio. Also, I think he's the executive editor of the Drug War Facts website. They all went to work educating Mitchum and his company about the failure of drug testing to tell employers anything about the worth and safety of their employees. So in response, OpenVape scrapped all of the urine testing in favor of computerized impairment testing. Now, this is a thing where an employee can set a baseline. It's like a little video game kind of thing, tracks your eyes, your hand-eye coordination and such. And you, every employee gets their own baseline setting, right? And then they can test you for cause, or if there's an accident or whatever, test you to see if you match your own baseline. And this catches people that are not only high, you know, no matter what it might be, but hungover, too tired, fatigued, ill, whatever it might be. So when it comes to, you know, workplace safety, this is something Normal has always stood for, something I remember telling people time after time after time, that if you really care about workplace safety, piss testing isn't getting it. All piss testing does is root out all the pot smokers, because all the other drugs flush out of your system within, you know, a day to 2 days. Marijuana stays in there for a couple of weeks. So they came around, and Steve Bloom got a great article out on it. Open Vape Revises the Drug Testing Policy. And in it, Todd Mincham told them, "We went back to the drawing board to work to help out people battle the things in life that cause impairment. It's a way to check for many things like sleep deprivation, stress, and abuse. It's more performance driven." Steve then asks, "So then no urine testing?" And Mincham responded, "Not at all." So again, applause and kudos to the folks out there at OpenVape. And for all the other companies out there that are going to be coming up in the marijuana industry, I think it's important that you understand that this isn't just any old business that you can just jump into. There is culture associated with this business. There are mores and standards and unwritten rules that we abide by as cannabis consumers that you're going to have to understand, or you're going to make a big PR gaffe like this. We want to work with these companies. We want to make sure that they understand these things going forward. So think about hiring a consultant, running things by Normal or DPA or MPP or any of us who are out here in the marijuana media. We'll give you our take on it and we'll be fair. But you can't just jump out there right into the middle of the marijuana community and offend the activists who have been working so hard to make your business possible, to actually change these laws and make it legal. Lots of people went to prison. Lots of people lost a lot in this fight. Just keep that respect in mind as you move forward, business people. Hey, that's all the time we got for Hour 1. Hour 2 coming up. Fishing with Bobby Tuna. You got to check it out. And Chris Marr from the Liquor Control Board in Washington.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Memorial Day is Monday, so no live show on Monday. But until next time, take care of each other, tokers.